This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We go to Maui of the late tragedy. Jeff, a very good evening to you. What is a paddle out? Good evening.
Good evening, John. A paddle out is a ceremony that surfers in particular, but people who describe themselves as watermen or very, you know, ocean friendly, will undertake. This is something that started with among Polynesians, very popular in Hawaii, has come to the mainland around California. And it's a way to memorialize people that we've lost. And so what will happen is a group of people will paddle out in their surfboards. They'll form kind of a ring or a circle. And then typically people will go around the circle, you know, giving some kind of words for the people that were lost, you know, memories or prayers, that type of thing. And then at the end, people kind of splash the water a bit to kind of signify, hey, we're still alive here. We're keeping the memory alive. It's a very beautiful ceremony. I've been part of them before and very moving. But of course, this happened in Maui this weekend to honor the dead from the fires several weeks ago. And this is the first of several of these paddle outs they're going to do, but it was very colorful. Had hundreds of people that were out and, of course, out on the shore as well, all taking part in this very special ceremony.
We have new statistics on the missing. What is it, Jeff?
So the new statistics on the missing are good numbers compared to what we were looking at before. You know, we're only into around 98 or 99 is the last number I had heard. But we're talking about, you know, fewer missing, many more identified. So it's, again, what we've talked about that happens after big catastrophes like that. There's often a lot of confusion. Sometimes remains can be mixed together, so it takes time for scientists and coroners and such to separate those and get a proper identification. We're moving very close to you know, they're never going to get to, I don't think, a zero number when it comes to the missing, but they're going to keep working on it and get it down there. You know, part of this is as they rebuild the Haina, they'll find more remains or what they think are remains, and they'll be able to identify more people, I believe.
We move from Maui and the tragedy to a mystery and the Big Sur. The last time you reported on a strange construction on the side of a cliff that nobody was certain actually could be taxed. It looked kind of rickety, deliberately rickety, but there's more information. Who lives there?
They don't know the exact person who lives there. They think it's a hermit that they've seen or heard about in the area there. Big Sur is very beautiful. Spot about 30 minutes south of San Francisco, right on the coast, very rugged coastline, beautiful vistas there. And what was discovered by drone footage was that there's this ramshackle house that appears to be put together with driftwood that's several stories tall, rather kind of interesting engineering architecture accomplishment. It had actually been destroyed or partially destroyed at one time by rains and weather, but has since been rebuilt. But all of this lends itself to who lives there. They don't have any photos of a person there. They don't quite understand how one person or even a couple people could have built such an elaborate structure, especially on such a dangerous footing. But they're very intrigued by it. But the other thing is the governments in the area don't seem to be taking ownership of the, you know, when it comes to jurisdiction. So San Mateo County is not taking any jurisdiction. We're not hearing anything from park rangers or highway patrol or anybody like that that might be connected to that area. So, you know, what they're going to do to the person who lives there, it's anybody's guess right now. But before they do anything, they have to find somebody, and they haven't even identified who the real person that belongs there is.
Homeless, San Diego, not homeless, migrants, maybe homeless, maybe have a place to go. But you send me a video. I know now and again you've reported that San Diego has dealt with the homeless sometimes and sometimes not, down around theaters and civic centers. But the video you sent me was a line of people marching across a parking lot. Who are they, Jeff?
They are migrants that have been coming up through this northern, you know, expedition of immigrants coming up from, I guess, Panama, Central America. And, you know, the Border Patrol in San Diego has reportedly been dealing with about 20,000 migrants in custody over the past week. That's 5,000 more they can manage. And 5,000 more, to some people, may not seem a lot. That's a huge increase when you're talking about infrastructure, about feeding them, about taking care of their medical needs and other, you know, needs, resources. So What's been happening is they've just been driving people up to the border and letting them go. And similar things have been happening in Tucson, Arizona, not quite the same number of people, but still rather large. And they're just releasing them without much direction at all.
From the unknowns of San Diego, we moved to L.A., where they're now monetizing tents on the street. Jeff, is there an ordinance against blocking right-of-way on pedestrian sidewalks?
There are some in parts of L.A. County, and I'm sure if you ask many law enforcement officials, they'll tell you yes, but they don't enforce it many places. When it does get enforced, it's because of some crime that's, you know, ongoing crime that's taking place, or because it's become a public health or safety problem, or there have been repeated nuisance calls that just, you know, that, you know, businesses and residents can't use the facilities, use the sidewalks, any of those things. So you have these areas, you go through LA, especially in the downtown area, in the Skid Row area, where tents are up and down the sidewalks for blocks and blocks and blocks. And we see this in other big cities along in the West Coast area. And you just wonder, why is this allowed to persist? Well, not only is it allowed to persist, but as you point out, they're starting to do some things about providing tent cities, so to speak, that are very, very expensive.
Yes, this statistic says $44,000 per tent. I guess there's judgment call to lean to. Where, Jeff? That's a hand-me-down tent I'm looking at in the photograph. Where is $44,000 in this picture?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it's about $4 million to put up fencing, bathrooms, and staffing facilities for this village, have catering services, 24/7 staffing, which is, you know, security and, you know, health monitors, that type of thing. That's an additional $3 million per year. So that all gets put into it. But this is in the East Hollywood area. And I just can't imagine this persisting for too long before residents in the surrounding areas, you know, have their fill of it. Or, and somebody comes up and says, look, I'm not putting out this much money for a tent. Are you serious? Obviously, it doesn't cost $44,000 to buy a tent. But as you, you know, press it out against all the other fees and costs associated with having it there, it does work out to $44,000 a tent. And as somebody pointed out, that's the cost of a new Tesla Model Y. So maybe we just give them a Tesla Model Y and let them live in that.
More to the point, Jeff, you can live pretty good in a hotel for $44,000.
Yes, you sure can. But here's the thing, and what we all know, we've been reporting about for years, is there's an agency, non-governmental or governmental agency, that doles out money like this. But there's always somebody in between that manages to handle it, and very little at all gets to the people who need it, whether it's in terms of care or shelter or food or any of those things. They see precious little of that money. This is truly a homeless industrial complex with people in the middle as well as people at the top who are making a lot of money on this situation.
To Vegas. You sent me photographs of the Vegas homeless. Now, as I recall, the homeless of Vegas were disappearing underground or in the runoff where the water runs off, underworld of Las Vegas. But this report says they're now sleeping in doorways. Has something changed?
Yes, a number of things have changed. One, the numbers have grown, it seems, exponentially. As I think I pointed out in our last report, last time we were in Vegas, it had grown over the past year in double-digit figures, somewhere between 14 and 19%. And it's also an area that has not been well-resourced in terms of providing shelters. And so while they don't want to provide more shelters and attract more people there, they've not been able to, you know, take care of the people that are already there. And so you're seeing more of them in the public spaces. I think I mentioned last week, I was really surprised by the number of people I saw out in public. You know, we were out on a Sunday early morning drive when there are very few people out on the strip. Most people are back in their hotel rooms recovering either from hangovers or bad gambling habits the night before. But there were a number of people up and down the strip who were passed out, sleeping on the strip, sleeping on cardboard boxes. That's something I'd not seen before. But there's also an element of, you know, Nevada is one of these states that's trying to decide if it's going to be blue or red. It's kind of purple in a way. And right now the blue has sway over a lot of social spending. And so you're seeing a lot of money go out to this, and it seems to be encouraging more people to, hey, come to Vegas and we'll take care of you.
The Bears of the Sierra Madre. Who are they?
They are a happy bunch, is what they are. The Bears of Sierra Madre over the past summer have been breaking into homes throughout the area. Now, Sierra Madre is near Pasadena. It's considered old money. It's considered one of the highest per capita income areas in Southern California. For many years, it was one of the highest per capita towns in the nation. This is old money. It's beautiful mansions. You see a lot of these homes show up as kind of backdrops for Hollywood movies because they're so beautiful. But it's also a place that's right up against the hills there. And so what happens is you get a lot of wildlife, and among that wildlife are the bears in the area. And lately they've been coming out and, you know, by scores of them have broken into people's homes for food, you know, check out the garbage cans. And this past summer when it was very warm, they decided they were going to make use of the pool. So there's quite a bit of footage. It's very, very funny, very cute at times of bears, sometimes with their little cubs jumping in people's folks' pool there. Pools there and in cooling off. It's great stuff. It's comedy gold, as they say.
When and if the Writers Guild and the SAG-AFTRA strike stops, all of these bears need agents.
Yeah. Somebody needs to write a movie about the bears of LA's hills. You know, these are great stories. What's interesting is the bears have not really had any dangerous encounters with people that we know of so far. I think a few animals, a few pets have been frightened off. But for the most part, they've just enjoyed hanging out poolside, like a lot of agents in Hollywood, you know.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.